Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There are more than a million active duty service members in the U.S. military stationed around the world. And here in the U.S., nearly 100,000 children have a parent deployed overseas, according to the Department of Defense. During deployments, those kids are home, missing mom and dad, doing mom and dad things, but also knowing that the goodbye at the airport as their parent deployed might have been the last time they'd be together. Homecomings are wonderful occasions, but what comes after that initial rush of joy can be very hard. Some families have to contend with life-changing injuries, some that you can see and some that you can't. Mom and dad may be home, but might not be able to do the mom and dad things in the way they used to. We get an intimate look into one military family in a new documentary called Father, Soldier, Son. Two New York Times journalists and documentary filmmakers followed a family for a decade and captured the small details of life, plus the big, big changes: marriage, tragedy, loss of identity. Here's the youngest son, 7-year-old Joey, describing how he feels when his dad's away.
I worry about my dad at night because it's like dark and they can sneak. And then they can go.
The film is now newly streaming on Netflix, and it follows Platoon Sergeant Brian, who returns home from Afghanistan with an injury that requires the amputation of his leg. We are privy to the way he and his sons Joey and Isaac navigate Brian's deployment, return, recovery from his wounds, and a legacy of service and what it means for all of their futures. Father, Soldier, Son was directed by Katrine Einhorn and Leslie Davis. They join us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Katrine, either of you can jump in, but I'll start with you, Katrine. What made you interested in covering military families?
We started this project all the way back a decade ago in 2010 when President Obama was doing his troop search. He was sending an additional 30,000 troops over to Afghanistan in an attempt to bring the war to a swift end at the time. And we really wanted to tell this story in a way that would engage readers, right? It was already 9 years into the war. We felt like there was some fatigue on the part of our readers in terms of really getting them to engage with what was going on. And we thought that the personal narratives of soldiers over this year-long deployment would really hook them in and get them to re-engage. And Brian was only one of many soldiers that we followed over that year. The series ended, but his boys were so compelling, and the things that kept happening in his life really demanded, gave us an excuse to go back and to do what journalists so often want to do, right? We often mm-hmm. wonder, what happened to those people after we're done telling their story? Well, in this case, you know, we got to go back and we couldn't stop going back.
So, Leslie, we see the boys when they're very, very little, and we, by the end of the films, we see one of them shaving. What did the reporting look like? How often were you in their lives?
So I really made Lacona, the town that they live in, and Pulaski, New York, which is upstate between Syracuse and Watertown, a little bit of a home away from home for a while. Kat and I would take fairly regular reporting trips for important things that were happening in their lives. There's a scene in the film where you see Brian has a kind of explosive reaction to some news about the healing of his leg. But then there are some quieter scenes, like what you're talking about, where you see Isaac, the older son, shaving for the first time, and moments like the boys' wrestling tournaments, or just hanging out at home with them, where it was really an investment of long hours with the family, and sometimes a couple of days, sometimes a day. It really was whatever we could squeeze in between our regular day jobs as journalists at the time.
My guests are Kat Einhorn and Leslie Davis. We're talking about their new film, Father, Soldier, Son. So I'm curious about some of the filmmaking choices, Kat. Near the start of the film is a scene that many of us have seen before. It's the soldier's emotional homecoming at the airport. The kids are crying. The father's crying. I'm watching him crying. There's this, you know, long embrace, and there's applause in the airport terminal. But then the goodbye is done almost only as audio. We see still photos, and we hear the kids weeping, and we hear Brian trying to tell them, you know what, I need you to let go. It's time for me to go. Why did you make that decision to use the stills and all of that audio?
That's such a good question. You know, one thing that astute viewers can see over the course of this film is sort of the how it changed depending on sort of the styles or what was in vogue in terms of what we were doing in our jobs. So like in 2010, when we started, there was a lot of exploration of multimedia storytelling. And, you know, this was before mobile kind of made everything smaller on your phone. And so we would do these big immersive multimedia projects. And that is what Year at War, the initial series that I was talking about earlier, that's what that was. And so we really made a decision, because we were telling it in video and stills, for that goodbye scene, we thought that still photographs and audio could really capture the poignancy of that event in a way that would be really special. And so that's why we did that at the time.
Leslie, we heard a little bit from Joey in the intro, and as you were assembling the film, how are you thinking about incorporating the children's gaze and letting the viewer see what they see?
Yeah, so we really wanted to try to keep their point of view front of mind the entire time we were making the film. We worked with a remarkable editor named Amy Foote, who really kind of joined us in that vision. I think that the boys, as they got older, when they went from being little kids where they were remarkably articulate and really emotional, they became a little bit less capable of accessing their emotions. And that may have been because they were coping with a lot of the trauma that you see them go through as young kids with their dad away at war. Or it may have just been the hormones of becoming teenagers. We couldn't quite suss it out, but they really became more difficult to interpret as they became teenagers. And then Isaac, as you see, when he becomes sort of a young man at the end of the film, we had this incredible interview with him at the end where he really had so much to say, and it seemed like he had just been holding it and waiting to share it with us until the end of the piece, or just kind of figuring out his voice around some of these things. So there is a point in the middle of the film, I think, where Brian, the father, does carry a lot of the narrative, because he was able to speak articulately during that period where the boys couldn't necessarily access what they were thinking and feeling in the way that they had as little kids. But nonetheless, we tried to, in those moments, show scenes so that you could see what the boys were going through and try to imagine what they were thinking and feeling.
Yeah, there are a lot of elements where it's interesting. The language of one family member is then illustrated by the actions of another. Let's listen to Isaac, the older brother, when he's little. I mean, he's around 12 years old, and he says this.
When my dad was at Afghanistan, I felt like I had like a 25-pound weight on my shoulders. And then when my dad came back, it was like gone.
And then a few shots later, we're in Afghanistan, where the dad is carrying all this heavy equipment on his back, sort of in the way that Isaac was talking about. When you're making a film like this, how important are visual metaphors, Kat? Why are they good for telling this kind of story?
Oh my gosh, they're just like little gifts from above, right? Like, as journalists, we're working with the material that we have, and like, it's really important to us to be a window into this world. But sometimes, you know, there are just these like beautiful opportunities to insert these moments into the film that become like little gifts to really like help the film exist in another dimension. And you know, that's a great example. There's the example, you know, Brian talks about the moon, and like how, like when he was deployed, Isaac would say, you know, I see the same moon that you see. And so, you know, we use the moon across the film several times, almost as like a little, you know, leitmotif about that longing and that love that they had for each other.
My guests are Kat Einhorn and Leslie Davis. The name of their film is Father, Soldier, Son. You can watch it on Netflix. They are journalists and filmmakers from the New York Times. So let's talk about Brian a little bit. He is a single dad. His ex-wife decided not to be part of the family's lives. He's clearly dedicated to his kids, but also very dedicated to his work as a soldier. Leslie, how does he think about choosing to serve his country, which means being away from these children who he loves, but also having this great love for his family?
So So Brian describes his service to the country as kind of taking precedent over everything in his life. It is more important to him to serve his country than it is to take care of his own health and well-being. I don't think he would say himself that serving his nation is more important than his kids, but at the time when he left his boys with his brother when they were young and he went to Afghanistan to fight in the war, he felt like he could maybe do both, and that even though it was going to be hard and even though there would be sacrifices involved, that was what he had signed up for.
After Brian gets home, Kat, he falls into a depression. His physicality is really important to him, and he has trouble running. He puts on weight. He doesn't feel strong. He has ideas about masculinity that are really important to him and really ingrained in him. I mean, there's some, it comes out in different ways. It comes out at one point during a wrestling match with his son. He basically tells him to, you know, kind of man up when it comes to sports. As you watched as a journalist objectively, how are they not helpful to his mental health once he got back?
Well, certainly, you know, he is part, you know, he does have this worldview that made his life harder for him. I think he would say that himself. I mean, that these things are so important to him and that they were such an intrinsic part of who he was. And now he didn't have that anymore. He didn't feel strong. He didn't feel as manly. That weighed on him heavily. And I think he would be the first to say that. I mean, I think we're so grateful that the family was generous mm-hmm. enough to really kind of open their lives and share their lives with us. And it allows us to really kind of think about, you know, these values that so many Americans hold, you know, in terms of what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be an American? You know, what does it mean to serve your country? And through this family, we were able to kind of explore those ideas, I think, in an interesting way.
And Leslie, he remarries a really lovely and I think quite strong woman. And she is the one who tells us, the audience, that Brian is not doing well at times when he can't even say it. Can you describe their dynamic and why couldn't Brian say it? And why did she feel so comfortable to say it?
Maria had a couple of kind of incredible interviews with us where I felt she could say things and like observe things about the baggage that this family had carried and the things that they had been through and how it was impacting them in a way that they probably never could, because she did have that distance from it. She really kind of inherited in a very proud way this military family dynamic, and you know, took on some mantras from Brian that maybe matched who she already was coming in. She really loved to tell him to knock it off, you know, like she had her own version of suck it up. Mm-hmm. But she also had this sensitivity and kind of warmth around parenting that I think we saw sometimes was at odds with Brian, who really felt like his job was to make his kids strong, where she thought like her job was to protect these kids. And I think in some ways that sense of mothering that she gave to not just Isaac and Joey, but to her own kids who also came into the marriage with them, she also gave a little bit of that to Brian, like, okay, be strong, knock it off, but also be kind to yourself. It was a really lovely thing to see come into their lives when Maria did.
One of the key questions in the film is about legacy, and Brian really feels this idea of my children can carry on the military legacy in this family. How do the kids feel about that initially? And, you know, how does that change after, you know, when they're little, they kind of seem into it, but after, how does it change after they see what has happened to their dad?
Yeah, that was one of the really interesting things that we were able to observe because of time, right? Because of this investment of time. When I first met Isaac when he was 12, he was already in that very first interview saying, I don't know if I'm going to follow my dad's footsteps. And then as they grew up, Joey, the younger son, was just, I mean, he was just completely convinced that the Army was the best thing for him. His eyes would just light up when he talked about it. He couldn't wait. You know, he wanted to enlist before he graduated. And Isaac really went in the opposite direction, and that created some tension in the family, because Isaac was like, look, I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. I want to be home with my kids. I think they're going to want their dad to be around. And then sort of being able to see how that played out over time, I think, was, it just shows how spending so much time with one family and 10 years really pays off in seeing what happens over the long term, and that's so revealing.
My guests are Kat Einhorn and Lizzie Davis. We're talking about their film Father, Soldier, Son on Netflix. They are New York Times journalists and filmmakers. So you're journalists, but you're also human beings who are present at some of these families' highest and lowest points. And I won't spoil anything, but the family goes through all kinds of trauma, not directly related to Brian's injury. Is there, you know, is there anything you had to sort of, I mean, how did you steel yourself? I mean, you saw some really difficult things over the course of these 10 years, and especially when you're following a family like this for 10 years. How did you sort of balance your role as human being and journalist? Leslie, I'll let you go.
Yeah. Well, so as you know, when you're reporting, you really have to kind of keep your own emotions in check and keep your head in the story and do your job. So some of the things that we went through with this family, we were always trying to maintain a professional presence when we were there. I will say some of the really intense and difficult things that we were there for, I was so grateful that I was there with Kat. I wouldn't have wanted to do that stuff, be there, figure out what it all meant by myself. I think that having a partner really helped in those moments. Mm-hmm. I also think that we did that question you were saying, you know, I'm a journalist, but I'm also a human being. We talked about that endlessly. We thought about it endlessly. And just that you can't, as a journalist who's supposed to bring empathy to the job and try to understand what someone else is going through, you do have to feel those things that people are going through. So I would say there were some real moments of devastation on our parts as people too, and some things that we ourselves had to figure out how to cope with as people.
Kat, what do you hope people who don't have ties to the military will take away from this film?
Some understanding of the values that underpin a lot of military culture and what drives service members to sort of make the decisions that they do.
I've been speaking with directors Leslie Davis and Kat Einhorn about their New York Times documentary, Father, Soldier, Son. It'll be available tomorrow on Netflix. Thank you so much for doing this work.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.